Well, the most important thing is the story and the characters and their journey. Yeah. And we focus on that. This movie is romantic. It's emotional. It's a great journey that these two characters go through in the movie. And it's funny. So we got all the bells and whistles. Plus, you have the reality of them actually driving these cars. But yeah, this important thing is the emotion. And that's what we put in all our movies. That's what made Top Gun Maverick the movie it became, the huge film. And that's why this movie is number one in the marketplace. It's emotional.
Hey, everybody. That is Jerry Bruckheimer, only probably the most successful producer in the history of Hollywood, talking about the making of the movie F1 with Brad Pitt. And he's talking about how, you know, their plot, character development is just as important in his movies as all the action. So it's a really great interview with him. And I was really excited to talk to him because he's, you know, so incredibly successful and has a formula for big movies. So that's going to come up in just a minute. Before I get to that, a couple of personal things. I have a problem in New York City. I get on the subway and people get on the subway with their bikes. Look, I'm not a fan of people on bikes, okay? Generally, because they break all the traffic rules, but they want you to adhere to them. They go the wrong direction. I always say in New York, I'm going to get killed, not by a mugging or being hit by a car, but some a-hole going the wrong direction on Third Avenue on a bike. When you get on the subway with a bike, my whole world gets turned on its head. You don't go on the subway with a bike. You go on the subway with yourself and your legs. Either ride the bike or don't ride the bike. You're not a little bit pregnant in life, okay? Make a decision. You can't be, the whole point of the bike is what? Exercise, be outside, but it's a little too far and you got to take a subway. I don't take my car on a plane, okay? And the reason I'm annoyed is because this guy hit me in the ribs with his handlebar, and I'm a delicate flower, people. It hurt. And I cried. And somebody gave me a dollar because they thought I was a little, you know, whatever. So I made some money on it. But the point is, if you have a bike, trash it. There's nothing good that comes out of riding a bike for anybody. And certainly don't go on a subway with it or a train or a plane. And for God's sake, if you're going to ride a bike, just do it in your yard. Just go in a circle. All right. The second thing is I'm a huge fan of avocado toast now. I like eat it every day. And I don't know if something bad's going to happen to me. I feel like that's going to back up my arteries. But I like it with they have this everything bagel seasoning you put on it. Oh, my God. It's good. Yeah. I had one today. I had one yesterday. I'm going to have one tomorrow. In fact, I take a bath in avocado now. It's gotten weird. Okay. Not bring your bike on a subway weird, but it's gotten weird. All right. Anyway, please follow me at Paul Mercurio. You know the drill on all social media. Enjoy Jerry Bruckheimer. He's really great, great interviewer and very, very interesting guy. And yeah, there you go. Go listen now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Very excited to have what I consider, many consider to be probably the greatest producer in Hollywood history, if not one of the. You may know him from a few small movies like Top Gun Maverick, Armageddon, the list goes on and on. Beverly Hills Cop, TV, CSI franchise. Jerry Bruckheimer, great to have you on.
Thanks so much, Paul. Really appreciate you having me.
Sure. So producing the F1 movie with Brad Pitt, I was very excited to see this movie come out. I didn't even think about this as a movie, but I'm a huge fan of the franchise because of the Netflix series that really turned me on to the whole world of F1. And I was curious, when you make a movie like this, Hollywood has a rich history of racing movies, Le Mans, Grand Prix, winning. And as a producer, are you thinking about that in putting a movie like this together to differentiate, but also maybe pay tribute a little bit?
Yeah, the technology's changed so much. First of all, Brad and Damson wouldn't have made the movie had we not let them actually drive these cars. So we trained for 4 months to be able to get in these cars because they're rocket ships. And they were going over 180 miles an hour in some of the straights. But that's what's it, what we did this time. We had 15 car mounts on the car, four at a time. So, and Apple, who financed the movie, gave us two of their iPhone cameras enhanced so it could be for IMAX. And we put that on two actual cars in nine different races. So you're going to see footage in there from the actual F1 drivers going 220 miles an hour. It's, the movie is really immersive. It's romantic. It's funny. It's the same team that did Top Gun. So you got the same kind of energy and excitement and fun that you had with Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah. So I would imagine because I, that Top Gun Maverick, those scenes in the cockpit and they're going through the, and these guys are getting jacked around by the G's. It's like, this is real. Like these guys are really in the cockpit. Like, so you sort of continued that sort of approach with this, sounds
exactly.
like.
Exactly. It's all real. There's no digital screens that we used or blue screen. They're actually cars. We traveled around the circuit. We did nine races. So Brad, the first time he got in the car, he was in Silverstone. There were 140,000 people watching him and another 100 million on television. Because F1 is a huge sport around the world. I was nervous. I don't know if he was nervous, but fortunately he didn't spin out and he had a great couple of laps. The way we did it is we went to all these races and we put our cars out there in between practice and qualifying. So you're seeing the actual racetracks. And some scenes we had when we had an opening scene where we had 6 minutes to actually shoot the scene. We rehearsed it for 3 days to make sure we could get it right. And then, you know, over 100,000 people, we shot the scene.
Yeah, that was actually my question. You went to Belgium, you went to Monaco, you went to Italy, you went... How you integrated into the race without disturbing the race. So you were getting between practice runs, and did you have involvement from F1 teams? Did you have help in any way? What was that sort of collaboration like?
It was a year's process. What we did is Joe created a reel. We showed how he shot Maverick. What he did was he took our F-18 plane and skinned it with the adversary plane. So it's really the dynamics of the plane are the same, just the colors and the shape of it changed. We did the same thing with the cars in F1. We took one of their races, skinned one of their cars with our car, and we showed it to all the teams exactly how we did Maverick and how we were going to do F1. Now, of course, it took us about a year to convince them that they weren't going to be the villains. So that Red Bull and Mercedes built our car, and Red Bull and Mercedes were having a real rivalry that season. So they're for sure going to be the villain in their minds. But what's interesting about F1, there are 10 teams, two drivers to each team. But it's the only sport where your teammate is also your competitor. They all want to be the number one driver. And that's the drama we created in the movie.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk about that because one of the things I admire about your movie, and you've talked about this, is a quote of you said, we put together as producers all the elements. For those watching and listening who don't work in the industry, okay, they know the word producer, but like, what does a producer do? And I thought this quote, among other things that you do, and I know there's a lot as a producer, we decide what aesthetic is right for a picture. We are as much a part of the process as the director. And so define aesthetic for people watching and listening, and also character development and plot, because what I admire about your films, great action movies, but you always are, you could tell you're conscious of a good story, because I would imagine you can get really spoiled and act like a kid in a candy store with all these bells and whistles of, I could do action, 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 action. And you get drunk on that as a producer, director, etc. And the plot is thin and the character development isn't there. And so at the end of the day, the audiences, I don't think, really care about the movie and the character. So talk about that process a little bit for people watching and listening that you go through to make sure that all of that happens.
Well, the most important thing is the story and the characters and their journey. Yeah. And we focus on that. This movie is romantic. It's emotional. It's a great journey that these two characters go through in the movie. And it's funny. So we got all the bells and whistles. Plus, you have the reality of them actually driving these cars. But the most important thing is the emotion. And that's what we put in all our movies. That's what made Top Gun Maverick the movie it became, the huge film. And that's why this movie is number one in the marketplace. It's emotional.
Yeah. And I like the comedy because it's really fun and seeing the movie. It's really terrific. It's sort of, and you do feel, you know, I know that you see these quotes a lot in promos, heart pounding. You do in the race. You do as good or better job than F1 of putting me in that car. And
yeah, you're absolutely right. Because what we did is we had a remote camera. It's the first time that's ever been done. We put
where? What do you mean?
In all the races, we put antennas around the track and we have a remote so we could pan the camera. We could go from Brad's face to the car passing him or a car passing him back to Brad's face. And that's never been done before.
So wait, you're cutting in real time using a remote camera?
Exactly.
You're doing a line cut, basically.
No, it's actually,
actually happening.
Actually moving.
Wow. That's incredible. Did you have to have any special cameras? I know you talked about two iPhones, but like any VFX, I know you had a ton of cameras and 50 positioned everywhere, but like, did you have to up the technology or have some technology invented for this?
We did. Sony created a camera for us that separated the battery from the camera and some of the guts. So we had a small little camera in the cockpit of the car, and the guts of it were in the side pods of the car. So that it was about a third the size of the cameras we had in Top Gun Maverick. So it's even more exciting.
Mm. And what was the plan if, God forbid, I guess it didn't happen, but there was an accident or a crash in one of the scenes? Like, how was that dealt with ahead of time, you know, in one of these runs that you were doing between practice runs?
Well, what we did is we trained them for 4 months.
Yeah.
They were really good drivers. In fact, Lewis Hamilton, before we even started the movie, Lewis is our partner. He's a 7-time world champion in F1. Mm-hmm. And what he did is he took Brad out on the track first, even before we started making the movie, and to see if he had the ability, he had the coordination to drive one of these cars. And he said, yeah, he's good. Before we hired Damson, we put him in a car and see if he could drive, see if he's a good athlete. And both of them turned out to be really gifted athletes.
Well, I see these drivers doing prep and they do these things with their hands. There's like a screen and they've got I guess it's the coordination and timing and quickness. And they did all of that kind of training?
Everything they had to. They're taking 5 Gs in those corners. They're not wrenched. So they were working out. When they got out of the car, they went to the gym and worked out.
Yeah. And by the way, you mentioned the comedy. It really is good because that aspect of it, it's a really good balance. I really love the dynamic, especially in the beginning, because, you know, Damson's very confident and Brad's just like seen it all, been there, done that. Yeah. Yeah. Kid. And in his own subtle way, and sometimes not so subtle, puts him in his place, but not in a mean way. You don't ever feel bad. You just go, yeah, that was really funny. And the kid deserved it a little bit, you know?
Right. Well, it's really an immersive movie. It just sucks you right in. It's a 4-quadrant movie. What we've seen a lot of is families come and see the movie, which is exciting, which is great.
Yeah. Well, I work on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and our security guy is a huge. He just went to Monaco, and right. I am like, I told my wife like we're going. We gotta find a race, and we gotta go because. You know, I've been to golf tournaments, I'm sure you know, and I know you've produced a lot of sports too. We've been to basketball, but this is like a whole different animal. When you first went, and maybe you went years ago before you even did this movie, like what was your experience like just as a fan, as a patron or potential, you know, maybe you're scouting as a producer, like what sort of struck you about that world, whether it's Indy, whether it's Grand Prix, F1?
Well, these are, look at, there are 10 teams, 2 drivers to each team.
Right.
And it's the only sport where they're competitors.
Yeah.
Be the number one driver. But these athletes are, I think, some of the most gifted athletes. Their hand-eye coordination is unbelievable. If you put these 20 drivers in the same car, they'd come within a second of each other. That's how good they are. And just to be able to train our guys to live up to a portion of what these athletes do, it's phenomenal. Yeah. Go to a race and you stand by the wall and you see these cars go by. You can't imagine how fast they are.
Yeah. We went to, buddies and I did 4 of us did a road trip. We even rented an RV to Talladega. Insane. Like we literally went down, you know, with the, and you're there and you're like, how are they doing this? And how are they? Cause just that. Yeah. Just that you flip, right? You crash. Like when you say Lewis took Brad out, how do you define took Brad out? In other words, how is he assessing if he can drive? Are there sort of, because he's not in the cockpit with him, obviously. So like, how is he figuring out if Brad can handle it? Is there technology in the car that he can read over a computer?
He just watches him drive and watches. Takes his times too. They have a stop and see how. Mm-hmm. How he hits the corners when he breaks, because you break at the last second. And what Brad keeps saying to us is you got to trust the car. The brakes are amazing. You can come right at the edge of the corner, hit the brake and still spin around the corner. And it took time. Like I said, it took 4 months to him get there.
You talked about Joe, the director, and what is it about him? Because if you look at his, he's got Tron, he's got a really varied sort of a body of work, right? He's not, which I think is probably attractive to you as a producer, because he'll bring, if he's just doing all action, he's going to be locked into a certain sort of way of doing things. What is it about him? Like Top Gun Maverick was terrific. This is terrific. I saw it. Like, what is he bringing? Why was that marriage good with Tom? Why was that marriage good with Brad with him?
Well, first of all, he was trained as an engineer and an architect. That's how he started career. So everything he does is very precise. The entire movie was storyboarded. Everything was down to the second of what he wanted. And you need that when you're dealing with things that are as dangerous as these cars. There was no shelter. I mean, we've seen in Silverstone in front of 140,000 people and 100 million people watching. We had 6 minutes to get it. He rehearsed the scene for 3 days before we got out there, so he had it perfect. And that's the kind of director you want. And he's got a great sense of humor, and that's, you need it.
Yeah, it's really well done. You know, Top Gun Maverick, like I said, and this, but this is, you know, you really care about the characters, and the development was really strong there. One last thing, I know you have to go. So we may have a mutual friend, you produced a Beverly Hills Comedy, so you must know or remember Richie Tinkin, Chris, Eddie Murphy's. Yeah. So
what a cool guy he was. He was one of the funniest guys.
Yeah.
Pleasure to be around. He really was.
Yeah. So he, just for people listening, Richie Tinkin was Eddie Murphy's first manager. I think maybe only manager, like literally.
It's true.
He signed Richie signed Eddie on 2nd Avenue and 81st Street outside the comic strip. They were leaning against the car. And the reason Richie became his manager, because Eddie was like 17 from Long Island and just this young, hot, raw talent. And his mother trusted Richie. And that's why Richie signed him. And then Richie's in Beverly Hills 2, when he comes into the driveway, he's like, who's that kid? But Richie was this sort of not even high school educated, didn't finish high school, grew up in the Bronx, street kind of guy, fell into the comedy business, comic strip. And so I'm sure you had really fun conversations in working with him over the years, huh?
Richie was, you know, he would hang. I don't know if he owned some of the comedy clubs, but that was his business. So he was in the bar business. And Richie wouldn't show up till noon because he was up all night. he was a light. He really was. He lit up every place he went into.
Yeah, he really was. Listen, the movie is F1. It's out now. Go see it. I saw it. It's terrific. And it really is a huge honor to have you on. I'm a huge fan of your work, and maybe we meet someday in person. But thank you for being on, and great to have you.
Thanks so much, Paul. Really appreciate it.
All right, Jerry Bruckheimer, big-time producer, Top Gun, Armageddon, F1, Beverly Hills Cop. The guy's a real underachiever. Please follow me at Paul Mercurio on all the social media, MECURIO, and permission to speak, my Broadway show. We're putting more dates together for that and my stand-up tour as well. And thanks for checking out the podcast, everybody. See you next week.